I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, it's Friday on the Dave Glover Show. Dave's out back on Monday. I think getting back into town today, but wisely taking a couple of days to wind things back up before coming back to work on Monday. Rachel Zimmerman, Andrew Stolz, Kevin Wheeler hanging out with you. Sue Thomas, kind enough to hang out with us. Sue
Hi.
It too.
How
it's
are you?
Sue it too. We're back.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Not bad.
Yeah?
Thanks for asking.
Things rolling all right?
Yep. We went to Buffalo to take a little trip, and I got to see a Frank Lloyd Wright house up there, and you know I love those.
Oh, nice.
And it was so cool. It was the Darwin Martin house, mm-hmm. and it was it's a complex kind of. But in Buffalo, I got to see it with some of the flowers blooming. I didn't make it in peony season. I don't know how to time that right, but...
Yeah, me neither.
You know, didn't you? You don't. It's good to know, Kevin. And it's got a whole complex, and this thing was built in 1905, and it looks like nothing around it. I'm sure at the time people were like, what the is going on? But it really was cool to see. So if you're a Frank Lloyd Wright person, put that one on your list, the Darwin Martin House in Buffalo.
That's awesome. So, you know, Architectural Digest has recently done like a video series on their YouTube about a bunch of different Frank Lloyd Wright places. Yeah, you should check it out. It's good stuff.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So total idiotic question because I know nothing about this. How many of those style houses are there? How many were actually designed by him? And did other people just kind of pick it up and like, we like that. We're going to do stuff similar to that and then build them all over the place.
Well, he was the first. And the prairie, he went through a prairie house phase, I guess like architects do. At first, you know, we have a building downtown, the Wainwright Building. Mm-hmm. That was Louis and Sullivan. And he was, Adler and Sullivan? Anyway, he was an intern for Sullivan for a while. And that's the first skyscraper this side of the Mississippi.
Right.
And he went and learned some stuff from him and then went out on his own. It only took him 6 months. And now, mind you, he thinks highly of himself. But still, he's also very talented. But prairie houses, I'm not sure how many there are, but this one was built in 1905. And it's so modern feeling. I don't know how to describe it. And okay. It doesn't look... So houses around it are Victorian and high. And this is... He wanted it to blend with the land. So it's low and it's sweeping. And Darwin Martin himself, when he grew up, his family was separated because they were poor. So he wanted, there's a house for his sister on the property.
Oh, all right. Nice.
There's a house for the gardener because Mrs. Martin loved gardens and there's a lot of land. So they had a house for the gardener. And it's just a really cool thing to see. So I've seen, like, if you've been to Falling Water, have you seen any Frank Lloyd Wright houses?
I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Outstanding.
I know. I was curious about the thing.
We've
I
got
know,
one in Kirkwood.
So,
you could
like,
see that.
My sister-in-law is really big into architecture, and they bought their house specifically because a person designed it.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
And I don't remember who it is.
Okay.
But like, I get that it's a thing, and this is what I was... I know.
Okay.
I know this.
What city is she in?
They are in Atlanta.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah.
Should I point out that every house was designed by a person?
Yeah, but you knew what I meant. Mine was probably out of a cookie cutter. You know, it's in a neighborhood where a lot of the similar houses, right? It's not unique to, you know, a particular type of design.
Google Darwin Martin House and see what you think.
All right.
And then he went through a phase where we do have one in Kirkwood. We have another one called the Pappas House somewhere further west, but they're not ready to show that yet. He went through a phase called the Usonian phase where he thought, instead of for these really wealthy people, I'm going to make a house that's affordable to the average person. And that is what he called the Usonian houses. And the one in Kirkwood, the Frank Lloyd Wright at Ebsworth Park, you can go and tour that. And it's really interesting. One of the Frank Lloyd Wright things is you walk through a small door, like he brings the ceilings down and you walk through and then he releases you. In other words, you go in and the space just opens up. He really was genius.
Okay, so this looks like a mansion.
Well, yeah, it's a
okay.
That's his prairie style face.
Okay,
what does Usonian mean? Broke?
I don't think so.
Andrew and I are both here good. No.
You know, I don't know.
I've never heard that word before.
He may have invented it. I don't know. Look it up. Hold on. Here
it
I
says it refers to the United States in general.
Oh, instead of
saying America.
Okay.
Very interesting.
So just a classic American house. Maybe it was what he was going for.
Well, I look it up, Usonian, and it says a style of architecture primarily associated with Frank Lloyd Wright that emphasizes simple, affordable, and organically integrated homes within the American landscape.
All right.
I guess it was derived from, the term itself derived from United States of North America was used by Wright. Thank you.
All right. Cool.
But yeah, so they're smaller. And very interesting.
Gotcha.
He wasn't, for instance, a fan of dining rooms.
Yeah.
So there's only one house that I've actually seen that has a dining room because he really liked the woman who lived there. She and the husband tried to get the house. And she said, I really want a dining room. And I've only seen one woman actually be able to get it.
All right. So, very good. See, I'm not at all in understanding any of these words or concepts. But when I do travel, I really think different types of structures are cool. Like when
yes.
you go to Italy and you see the different styles of churches, like some of them are one, some are another. I don't know them.
Right.
I just know they look great. And
right.
it's kind of interesting to see the differences in the time periods and
That's
things
fair.
Along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you were to dig in, he's probably the most famous American architect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also known for leaky roofs, but beautiful houses.
Oh, well, that's, you know.
Yeah, people always say, like, if you had billions of dollars, what kind of stuff would you spend it on? And usually I can't think of anything, but honestly, I think I would try to buy a Frank Lloyd Wright property of some kind.
Oh, my gosh, you're right. It would be a money pit, but then it would be so cool.
Yes.
Wait, so they're great, but they're money pits.
Well, they can be now. They're getting older.
Yeah. Plus, cars can be that way, too, right? The great cars can be that way, too. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. They're old, and I'm imagining, just kind of an educated guess here based on what I do know about them, is that they're very, very interesting designs can be not so easy to maintain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like his very interesting-looking roofs.
Right.
Do need to be maintained as a roof still.
Correct. Yeah. But if you get a chance, I think the most stunning one is Falling Water in Pennsylvania that is built on a waterfall. And you can go down and swim. It was for the Kaufman family in Pittsburgh. But you can go here and take a look at Ebsworth Park. It's cool. He built those on certain patterns, either a circle or a square or a parallelogram, and that's what that one was built on.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I've talked too
now
much.
We're in geometry. Yep. I'm in trouble.
Sorry.
I don't like those terms. That's a flashback.
Ooh, Barry on the stream says his son invented Lincoln Logs.
That's
get
true.
Out of here.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Barry meant his son did it.
He's like,
wait a minute.
My son invented Lincoln Logs.
Okay, so here's what I thought. Here's what I did. That's what I thought he meant. And then I'm like, wait a minute. How old is this guy's son? And how old is Barry? Barry'd have to be like 150.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm stupid.
Okay.
That's what happens sometimes when you just see something and you don't think and you talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. My son, who is 120. I don't know. Lincoln Logs had to have been invented a long time ago.
Well,
right?
Yeah. I mean, the house that's here, the Usonian one, was built in the 50s. Frank Lloyd Wright, I believe, lived into the 50s. And so he did span quite the...
They were Lincoln Logs were invented in 1916.
There you go.
So, So your son would have to be at least, 108 years old, which means you'd have to be probably 130. Are you 130 there, Barry? God, am I stupid sometimes? I've just stunned myself with the dumbest thing I've said in a long time.
So, Sue, I know you've been doing real estate for about 25 years now. When did you start getting into, like, architecture and all this stuff? Like, what drew you to it?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. Frank Lloyd Wright, I read The Fountainhead 8 million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody told me it was based on him. And then I started thinking, wow, that's a real person? Let me dig into it. And he was just such a... very interesting, extremely bright, did not care what anybody thought. Just went his own way and had a lot of talent, and that I found interesting. And then I fell down the hole. And it's so interesting because he has houses out in California that are, he went through a phase where it was concrete block, and you see them sometimes in movies. A couple of them that are that way. There's one on the coast of California that I really want to see, but I think it's privately owned. Mm. But yeah, it's so a wide variety and really interesting.
Mm-hmm. I learned stuff today. That's why we love having you in, Sue, because I'm certainly not providing such information to our listeners.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if anyone cares, but there you go.
I guarantee you a lot of people do, and it just proves that I don't know anything. But it's fascinating because when you look at someone that prolific from more than 100 years ago.
The Guggenheim.
Yeah.
He did the Guggenheim.
Yeah. There's a reason why it's still viewed that way. Yeah. That's just because you were great at what you did.
Yeah.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Nicholas joining us at 2:30. Dave Murray at 3:30. Alvin Reed at 3 o'clock. George Mahey just after 4 o'clock. So we're going to be busy for the rest of the week, which is now 2.5 hours or so. Let's get some fast food news rolling.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. We've got some good fast food news this week. We'll start with Taco Bell. They are launching $3 grilled steak burritos. Ooh. So they have the Chipotle Ranch grilled steak burrito and the Cheesy Melt grilled steak burrito.
Mm. I would eat that.
You have my attention.
And it's part of Taco Bell's Cravings Value Menu, which includes fan favorites priced at $3 or less.
Are they little?
I would assume they're probably pretty little.
Are they like a burrito ito?
What does that mean?
Little.
Rachel, do you remember last time they had some sort of a steak burrito thing and it was like, you know, they were pretty inexpensive and they were like kind of disappointingly small. Do you remember that?
Yeah, they were almost like the cheesy roll up.
Yeah, they were quite small.
Ripoff in the history.
Yeah. They were delicious, but they were just a little on the small side.
Yeah. Did you turn up your headphones?
I just did.
Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
I blew myself out.
No one deserves to hear me that loud. I apologize.
I saw your head shake. You're like,
hey, wait, how small is small?
Am I going to guess like taco size?
Like
$3, it's probably taco size.
Yeah.
Like soft taco size.
I'm trying to think of the name. They used to have these things called grillers.
Yeah, with a Z.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's about, I would assume it's about that size. Now, this story says they're full-size burritos. I just straight up don't believe that, especially since the protein is steak.
Right.
Considering like for example, the grilled cheese burrito, if you get that with steak, that's like a good $7.
Okay.
So these are going to be smaller. These are going to be probably more to supplement your meal rather than be the entire meal, but it's nice to have the option.
Or they're just trying a loss leader to get us in.
Maybe. I mean,
but I'll make them take a lot of losses because I ate a bunch of those.
Go get them, Kevin.
So Jimmy John's is partnering with Drew Brees on a charitable sandwich special. He's putting his name on a variation of the sandwich's number 9 Italian nightclub,
right,
which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically doing that minus the cheese and with spicy pickled Jimmy peppers. Ugh. So if you go in before August 31st and purchase the Breeze number 9, $1 will be donated to a charity such as the Jimmy John's Foundation, Boys and Girls Club of America, the Breeze Dream Foundation. So something to keep in mind when you're getting a sandwich at Jimmy John's the rest of the month. Papa John's is debuting a new garlic 5 cheese crust pizza. It's the original crust, brushed at the edge with garlic parmesan sauce and seasoned with an Italian 5 cheese blend.
Hmm.
I'm a little surprised that this is like news this week. I feel like that pizza's been out for a while, right, Andrew?
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit different, but they are definitely promoting it as something new and exciting. So it makes me think that maybe the thing that we have eaten in the past was like different in some
way. Yeah, like they put more garlic on it, so now it's something else. Or put Parmesan on it, and now it's something else. Yeah.
They added an additional cheese of some kind.
It was, before it was just four cheese. Now it's five. Very exciting.
Wendy's is debuting some new sparkling energy drinks and cold brew with cold foam. So they're getting into the drink game. Things such as the cherry limeade sparkling energy. So it's got shots of caffeine in it. Pineapple citrus sparkling energy. And then you can get a cold brew with cold foam. Sounds pretty good. I will say this past weekend, I got one of the frosty chinos. So it's basically iced coffee with Frosty on top.
Oh.
So good. I mean, it's really? Definitely, yeah, it's definitely like a treat. If you're getting that for your coffee every day, I think you're going to rapidly gain weight because it's like you're having a ice cream treat for breakfast, basically.
Question.
But every once in a while, that's good stuff.
Yeah, it's a question. What is cold foam? I am not a coffee drinker, as you know.
Okay, how do you explain
this? Foam?
It is foam.
But it's cold.
Of what?
It is foam. It's foam of coffee, right, Rach?
You froth cold milk, and then you add flavored syrups to that. So it's like a milk foam.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
No problem. Let's see. Pumpkin spice season is back.
Already.
And next week, you can get some pumpkin spice original glazed donuts at Krispy Kreme, but it's just available for 1 week. This starts on August 11th. It's a pumpkin spice yeast ring donut covered in Krispy Kreme signature original glaze.
Penalty flag.
What's up?
False start. It's too early.
It is a little too early.
It's August, man. It's 95. It ain't pumpkin time yet.
Well, considering that even Starbucks is waiting till the end of August to do their pumpkin spice latte, this is quite early. They're also going to do a pumpkin spice latte and a pumpkin spice coffee.
I saw in the grocery store the other day, I was checking out and I saw a display that was Halloweenish. And I thought, oh, look, they're dumping off last year's stuff. It didn't occur to me that it was already Halloween stuff, but it already is.
That's wild.
It just freaked me. I guess we're just desperate.
I saw someone post on Instagram the other day. I think it was actually Alexis Zotto. She was like, look, I know everybody's looking forward to cozy season, meaning fall.
Yes.
But I like summer, and we're still in summer. Yes. And I really appreciated that because it's like, I like the fall too, but I'm trying to enjoy the season we are currently in before we rush into like the dark, cold times.
Agreed.
All right, back to fast food news. I thought Wheels would like this one. Dairy Queen's Blizzard of the Month for August, and I know I'm late reporting on this because we're already 8 days
I still got like 3 weeks.
You got 3 weeks to get the Reese's Caramel Craze Blizzard.
All right.
So this is vanilla soft serve blended with peanut butter cups, salted caramel truffle pieces, and chocolatey shavings.
So when you guys do things like that, whether it's Dairy Queen, Ted Drew's, Fritz's, whatever, do you just go off menu or do you create your own?
I create my own.
Me too.
Uh-huh.
Me too. I do that at the burger place I've been going to now. Muya does that. You can create your own little shakes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm a Ted Drew's creator.
All right. If you're creating, what's your main go-to creation?
Banana, blueberry, concrete, regular size. Try it. You will love it.
Vanilla. Rach, do you ever do that? Or you do a create, or are you like a, like for example, my kid always at Fritz's always orders the clown car.
What's in that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's cookie dough and sprinkles and there's a little whipped cream on there. I think that's what it is.
Okay. I don't ever go like a full creation of my own. What I do like to do though is customize a turtle sundae turtle concrete.
So you got the base and then you figure out what else is going on.
Well, I usually just do like a normal turtle situation, but I like a chocolate ice cream instead of a vanilla ice cream.
Andrew, are you a customizer?
No, I just go off the menu. I'm not fancy.
You just pick one?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I got two.
You got everything you could want.
Two that I rotate.
That surprises me, Andrew.
No, typically, I got everything you could need. I just get a little Reese's, maybe a little M&M. That's what I liked when I was a kid. I've been revisiting that one here and there.
See, Fritz's is not far from me.
Oh, dear.
So I got two choices. It's almost always going to be the vanilla ice cream. One of them will be peanut butter cups and cookie dough.
Mm.
Get the two of them. And the other one is the black cherries with cheesecake bites.
That's
strong. Yeah.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
DS, just after 2:30 on a Friday. That means it's time for our buddy Bernie Miklas. What's up, Bern? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Wheels. Looking forward to being on Redbird Rush Hour later today with you and Matt Pauly.
Yeah.
And looking forward to watching a lot of Cards Cubs this weekend.
Man, it's, you know, you touched on this in a video. I haven't had a chance to watch the video because you posted it not that long ago. And, well, I'm doing things.
Sure.
But the concept is interesting, and I think it's so true, is that these are great games. The rivalry is great. But in the years where one of the teams is really not pushing for anything, it does kind of calm down a little bit.
No doubt about it. But the other factor is, you know, frankly, as we know, there's no reason to avoid talking about it. You know, the Cardinals have lost a lot of fan support at home.
Yeah.
I mean, this will be the second year in a row where they lost more home attendance than any team in baseball, 2 years in a row. Now, Tampa Bay is drawing less. But, you know, they're playing in a minor league, you know, in a spring training park that holds 11,000. So the Cardinals have, you know, really been just hemorrhaging fan losses. So I think that does something to it as well. I mean, Cardinals fans will be there for sure all weekend, but I think Cubs fans will be perhaps more prevalent or at least be really notable how many Cubs fans are there. So it's not quite the same. I think the Cardinals are in that kind of spot where a lot of things just aren't quite the same.
Yep.
And that's why they got to work to get it back.
Yeah. And reality is this, too. There have been plenty of years during these times where the Cubs were way worse than what the Cardinals have been these last couple of years.
Oh, heck yeah.
And Cardinals fans dominated Wrigley Field in a lot of those matchups, too, when the Cardinals were rolling high.
Yeah.
So it's a normal thing. It just sucks when you're seeing it on your end, right? It's like, man, it used to be the other way around.
Well, the one thing about the Cubs, and this will come across as a cheap shot, and I'm really not trying to take a shot because it's true. I can't even calculate how many dozens and dozens of games I've been at Wrigley Field when I was writing for the Post-Dispatch. Even when the Cubs are really, really bad, it doesn't matter because I used to call it that's basically the world's largest outdoor garden party.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, people go there to drink beer and hang out and enjoy the weather. I mean, it was more of a social thing than anything. So they never really lost fans because that's a hangout place.
No, and look, it's unique in a lot of ways, and it's what makes things difficult for comparisons. But it's a neighborhood. I mean, literally hundreds of thousands of people live within a couple of square miles. You know, I mean, like it, you know, that's probably an exaggeration, but like you're in the middle of a neighborhood where people that are, and it's a young neighborhood, so it's a lot of people in their 20s and 30s, early 40s, and that's kind of their recreation. They go to the bars around there, and they go to the ball games when they're bored.
No doubt about it. It's a great scene. Always a fun scene.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not in any way a knock. It's just that's the reality of the Cubs situation.
Sure.
You know, that it's partly why a lot of their fan base, Bernie, is angry when the team doesn't attack this like they're the big market team that they are, because they're always selling tickets and they have big TV deals. And, you know, that's where their fan base gets frustrated when they don't, for example, sign a guy like Kyle Tucker long term before letting him hit free agency and things along those lines.
Well, I personally believe Cubs fans have more of a grievance than Cardinals fans. Like, there's no, in other words, there's not any real reason to compare it. But the Cubs are, listen, the Cardinals aren't exactly impoverished. I mean, they're a very successful franchise, and they've had great fan support. But they're in a downturn, and, you know, they've lost business. But the point is, the Cardinals have been much more, especially since Bill DeWitt purchased the team, they've been much more successful than the Cubs, even though their revenue base is nothing close to the Cubs. Their revenue power is not close to the Cubs. And they've been the far superior franchise. And even when the Cubs are good, and listen, man, 2016 is great, but they haven't made the playoffs since then.
Right.
And other than the COVID year, which is a different thing.
Sure.
And
sure.
So, you know, their ownership is just sitting on, you know, they spent a fortune. They got help from the city to, you know, build that area around Wrigley Field, which would create revenue streams for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they've had much higher payrolls than the Cardinals, they really don't try to spend. See, they have the wherewithal financially to spend with the Dodgers and the Mets and the Phillies and some of these other teams.
Yeah.
But they don't do it. They only go to a certain point. And I think if I were a Cubs fan, you know, the fact that they had a World Series champion and then that thing just like went downhill really quickly. And maybe they did make the playoffs in 17. So I might have been off by 1 year, but they haven't made the playoffs since 18 other than the COVID year. But the point is, they're sitting on, they have such a strong financial muscle and they don't use it. There's really no excuse for that. And there's no excuse for their rather lame trade deadline activity this year. I mean, what's the point of getting Kyle Tucker if you're not going to go out you're going to take your best shot? You got to take your best shot. And they didn't.
Yeah.
So I don't blame any Cubs fan whatsoever for being ticked off at that ownership right now. I really don't.
No, not at all. Now, we did have an interesting story pop up today, Bernie, and it's not going to change how the games play out this weekend. But it is interesting. Is that at the invitation of manager Ollie Marmol, Yadier Molina is going to be in the dugout and spend a couple of days around the team. And, you know, like I know when he first retired, there was that discussion about how he's going to be around and maybe be a part of things. And it really didn't materialize. But it's interesting that it did now. And I find it interesting that it's at the request of the manager who's bringing in somebody that a lot of fans want to replace him.
Well, yeah, and I think it says a lot about Ollie Marmol.
Agree.
And, you know, I spoke with him this morning at length about, that situation. And, you know, I said to him, I said, you know, this is kind of funny because even I, you know, do videos saying about, well, is Pujols going to be the next manager if Ollie goes? Is Molina going to be the next manager if Ollie goes? And he said, I'm aware of those. Yeah, I'm aware of those videos. And I said, that's why he's so funny, because he's pretty cool about stuff like that. But anyway, I said, we were just chatting, and he said, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of stuff flying around. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, people just flinging stuff against the mm-hmm. wall. And I said to Ollie, I said, you know, here's the thing that interests me about this. I said, if you were paranoid or thin-skinned or overly sensitive or worried about Molina taking your job, the last thing you would do is invite him to sit in your dugout in uniform.
Right.
You know, so Cardinals fans ought to understand, you know, Ollie Marmol, no matter what's going to happen, he's secure in his own skin.
Yeah.
And he put whatever concerns he has or doesn't have about losing his job sometime soon, he doesn't care. From the standpoint that, as he told me, he said, anytime Yadier Molina wants to come to Busch Stadium and he wants to put on a uniform and sit in our dugout, my door is open. I'd love to have him do that all the time. People may not know this, but, you know, Molina and Marmol have an outstanding relationship. Mm-hmm. When Molina retired, he gifted Ollie Marmol with this incredibly expensive Rolex.
Wow.
Just as a gesture of thank you and gratitude, and how much he enjoyed playing for him. So Yadi's not here to stab anybody in the back. Now let me say this. I think Yadi does want to manage. And I think you got Fox coming to town tomorrow night and everything else. And there's going to be a lot of video and there's going to be a lot of talk about Yadier Molina in uniform at Busch Stadium in the dugout. And that just gives Yadier Molina more visibility. And I think that's probably good for him, for someone who wants to manage, like just reminding people I'm here, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, I was asking about this in a group text with our boss here, Steve Moore and Tom Ackerman, Matt Pauly. We always kick things around. And, you know, I was like, well, you know, like 2 days, like you're not going to get a competitive advantage or whatever, but I was wondering if it's just more of get him another taste and see if it's something that he wants more of.
Yeah. And I tell you the one thing, the people that are speculating that somehow because Molina's here and he's going to be in uniform, that this is like setting the table to fire Marmol. I mean, the people that hate Ollie are like just so, gosh, obsessive is a word. I could think of some other words. No. And I told Marmol, I said, hey, you're going to be asked not about that. You're going to be asked about, well, would you hire him as a coach if he wants to coach next season?
Mm-hmm.
And Marmol laughed, not because he thought it was a bad idea, but it's just like he understands that he's going to get all these questions and like 80% of them will be way off base. But he said, listen, my door is always open to him. That's what he said when I asked him about, you know, Molina, you know, maybe coming to work in some capacity. Yeah. So I think it's great. And you know what my wish is for the weekend, however? I want Pete Crow Armstrong, maybe if he hits a home run, I want him to, you know, just kind of show off and showboat around the bases. And I want Molina up on the top step screaming at him. Right? Right?
That would be old school, man. Yeah.
Or like if there are unpleasantries between the two teams, right? I want Molina out charging out of the dugout to like, no. None of this.
Yeah.
So it's great. You know, it's great for him to reconnect with the franchise because I think it's important to a lot of people, including the fans, because, you know, that era is over and you don't see the Cardinals from that era around Busch Stadium all that much, not because they're staying away, but it's just, you know, they're not going to be hanging out.
Well, it's also relatively recent, too. You know, I mean, they're doing other things. Yeah.
And, you know, we've lost, so many sacred institutions of baseball, mm-hmm. you know, since 2013 when Stan the Man passed away. And there's been a void, which is inevitable, man. You know, life goes on. But it's always great for someone who's such an icon like Molina for him to show up and show he still loves this franchise. He still wants to be a part of it. Yeah. He wants to support the manager. I think all of that is really cool.
No, it's great. And again, it's not more, you know, you're not doing this. We're not trying to make it more than it is. It's just an interesting thing in a time where a lot of the interesting things are on the fringes, right? I mean, the standings are not the interesting thing. The interesting things are maybe shifts in philosophy. Who's going to get some run? Who's in the bullpen? You know, a little interesting note here with Molina and maybe just dipping the feet back into the water, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about it. But just he's reconnecting the ties with Bynum, and I like that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's had the greatest relationship with Mozeliak. It's just, you know, these things happen. But Yadi was the one who reached out. So he took his step to kind of whatever issue that was there. I mean, it's over. And I know John Mozeliak is really, really happy about this.
Cool.
So, yeah, I think everybody's happy about it. Those players will love it. So.
So we got a lot more to do later on today. We have the Redbird Rush Hour. There'll be Bernie, Matt Pauly, and I. We'll be kicking things around a little bit more on the field stuff than what we just got to here. But I wanted to get to this stuff because I think this was important. It's kind of the newsiest thing of the day.
Well, yeah.
And we'll probably revisit a little bit later on for those that missed it. So we will talk again in a few hours, Bern. Before we go, though, let's talk about Saliga. I thought I'd give love, now it didn't feel so bad. Hi, TGS. On a Friday, Sua 2 continuing to roll along. Rach, why don't we do that topic I mentioned to you? Because I'm fascinated to hear what this is all about. I don't want to spend too much time on the intro, but it's basically, what does everyone do that is what we would call unhygienic, which sounds not great.
Well, you know, it's just the kind of thing where it's like, when you think about it, it's actually not super gross.
Okay.
But kind of everybody does it.
Is it a single thing or is it a few things?
It's a few things.
Okay,
I saw this on Reddit. It was an Ask Reddit thread.
Right.
Just what's very unhygienic, but everybody seems to do it anyway. And then people were weighing in with their responses.
All right.
Right now, the number one response or the top response is changing your sheets every 2 weeks. Most people don't do that. I know I am definitely not on a 2 week schedule.
What? I mean, well, put it this way. If it were up to me, it would probably almost never get done, but thankfully my wife is on top of that. I do my own laundry, but I don't think of that, but she does it anyway when she does them all together.
I am a once-a-week person.
Once a week,
oh, nice.
Huh?
This comes from my mother. We just do what Louise says,
yeah.
So I've never left it.
It's
you
fine.
You have to change your sheets?
Yeah.
Y'all using sheets over
here? Yeah,
y'all using sheets? Come on now.
Yeah. You can do like my kid. And
just get a mattress pad.
My kid a lot of times will just sleep on top of the comforter with another blanket and just not do anything, not get in the bed.
That's one way to do it, I guess.
Yeah, I would do that. Back in the day, I did that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Well, here's another one. Not sanitizing your cell phone. Think about it. We're on our phones all the time after we touch everything. And most people never think twice about touching a public handle, then touching their phone, then eating, etc.
Yeah.
I have just a really tiny, tiny crack on there, and I'm afraid if I spray it with something, it will somehow get in there screw up the whole thing.
I gotcha.
So I'm currently in the rub it on your pants phase.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You can use those little, those little thing cloths that you use to clean your glasses, those kind of things.
What are pants for?
It's exactly.
Yeah.
It's not terribly successful, but it looks better.
It makes it better, yeah. It gets rid of the fingerprints.
Well, I hate to put this in your head, but gas pumps and the pin pads at the pump are some of the grimiest touch points out there.
Of course they are.
And of course, no one ever wears gloves or anything like that when they're fueling up their car. I remember during the peak of the COVID pandemic, I was so paranoid about gas pumps, and I would have a big bottle of hand sanitizer
in my cup holder.
And I would just use that. And once that ran out, I never replaced it.
I still do. I sanitize my hands after every time I get gas.
Good
oh my
idea.
Goodness.
Yep.
I have I did that
before COVID too. Oh. I think they're kind of gross.
I mean it is gross, but I'd never thought twice about it. I just pump the gas, go get some food from the gas station and eat it and
right there
no
with
big
you.
Deal.
How about blowing out birthday candles?
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing where you think about it, it's like, oh, that 4-year old just spit all
over
the
table. They did. They don't mean to, but they did.
I ain't worried about it.
No, I'm with you. It's in such small amounts, no big deal.
How about licking your fingers before touching a paper? You know, when people are
like you're trying
this.
To turn pages.
I
yeah, yeah.
Doesn't happen every day, but every now and then.
No, it's not as common a thing as it used to be.
Let's see. What else? Touching your phone.
I got
already
one.
Did that one. Let's hear it, Wheels.
People, and again, I do this too. This is not a judgment. It's just a thing. When you flush your toilet without putting the seat down, like the cover down, because you're getting that spray all over your bathroom.
Splashing all over the place.
It's called
spray.
I'm telling you, it's called a toilet plume. Google it.
Oh,
the guys on Mythbusters did a whole thing about this. They're like,
plume?
They're like, if you think your toothbrush is safe 6 feet away, you are wrong, sir. There will be things that you don't want on your toothbrush.
Oh, you kind of eat something.
Oh,
that,
you know, just to keep yourself rolling. Listen, every day we are getting gross things that we end up, we just don't know it.
Well, I sometimes think about the equipment in this studio. I run the board every day. This board never gets cleaned. And I mean, we're talking into these mics, you know, an inch away from our mouths. When are we ever wiping down the mics after the previous person used it? It builds character, though. I think it's good for your immune system. At a certain point.
Yeah, so the toilet plume is the, quote, cloud-like dispersal of potentially infectious sewage particles as a result of flushing a toilet.
Toilet.
You guys got to start changing sheets.
Toilet.
I'm just going to throw that out there. There's nothing like getting into the old clean, crisp, fresh sheet.
It's one of the best things about a hotel.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the worst thing is putting it all on there.
Putting it all on there takes seven minutes.
That's way too much.
No,
way too much.
If you're dealing with a top sheet, or what's the one that goes on the
fitted.
Mattress?
The fitted
sheet. If it's not like deep enough and it's coming off the mattress every time you try to put the corner
on
there.
Well, see, this is probably a me thing, but I've got like 5 pillows on my bed and I got to move them all off. And then I got to put the thing on, and then I got to put them all back, and I got to put the other things on, and it's tedious.
Like you do with your pants every day, you take them off.
That takes 4 seconds, not 7 minutes.
Come on!
I have disappointed Sue. So have a good weekend.
Thank you. I thought I'd give